Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and we're reading from verse 4. This verse has touched my heart in a profound way. I love chapters, but I tell you, every once in a while, just one verse will reach out and just get a grip on your heart. And we find in Hebrews 11, 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Now, I read that quicker than I should, but I just couldn't read it much slower, because it seems like there are major truths that leap from the pages of Hebrews 11, 4. All the 11th chapter is so awesome. And by faith, by faith, by faith, men and women did the things they did and achieved the things they achieved. The Living Bible. Let me read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4 from the Living Bible. It was by faith that Abel obeyed God and brought an offering that pleased God more than Cain's offering did. God accepted Abel and proved it by accepting his gift. And though Abel is long dead, he's gone, we can still learn lessons from Abel about trusting God. To me, there are just some awesome truths that are in these verses that are before us. First of all, as a believer, everything we do is by faith. I hope you understand that. We come to Jesus in faith. We accept Jesus as our personal Savior by faith. We are healed by faith. He helps us in moments of emotional or financial adversity by faith. We pray in faith. We don't pray in fatalism. We pray in faith. It's the prayer of faith that saves the sick, the Lord that raises them up. So as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, everything we do is by faith. Doesn't happen often, but every once in a while someone says, well, good money has been paid for me to have the education that I have, as if it's our education. I thank God for your education. I encourage our young people to get the best education possible. But there's an education that goes beyond any education that man can give. It's the wisdom of God, and it's the mind of Christ. You can be ever so brilliant and not know what to do with it. And I see that so often, more often than should be in life. So everything that happens in our life, you go to work by faith. You do the things you do by faith. You invest. If you're an investor, an entrepreneur, you better know something about the principles of faith. And sometimes just that inward knowing that you have is simply a faith that God has placed within you to know what is good for you and to know what direction you should go or what direction not to go. So there were two brothers. One's name was Cain, the other one was Abel. And we know that Cain was a tiller of the ground. And so they came to Jesus, and this seems so strange. Why would God accept one brother's offering and reject the other brother's offering? And you might say, well, just any old experience will do. There's only one name under heaven whereby we must be saved. I'm very narrow-minded on that because the Bible is. I thank God for everyone's faith. I thank God for the God that everybody believes in. At least they believe in something. But according to the Bible, there is no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. No other name. It's not the Baptist church, the Methodist church, the Charismatic church, the Catholic church, and we could go on and on, or no church preference. It's the name of Jesus. And one sacrifice represented a blood sacrifice, which goes far ahead to the sacrifice of Calvary, where Jesus shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all of our sins. I'm still appalled by the world, who usually is tuned into violence. And, you know, especially in travel, it seems like all the movies you see on airliners or whatever, I mean, the bloodier, the violent, the more people get shot, you know, it's just, everything is a shock thing. But yet some people said that Mel Gibson was too gory with his movie, not gory enough. We'll never understand the sacrifice that Jesus made for us to ensure that every sin that we've ever committed is forever forgiven, and it's under the blood of Jesus. Well, as a believer, everything we do is by faith. Everything we do is by faith. Secondly, it is all important that our tithes, offerings, and first fruits be offered by and in faith. You say, well, isn't tithe a given? I think there's certainly a blessing of God that comes with that. But the greater blessing of tithing comes because we mix our faith with our giving. It's good to give offerings unto the Lord, and I certainly believe that God sees that. And then even in first fruits, I mean, this is not a Las Vegas slot machine. You know, you don't pull it in 3 carats or whatever. It's something that we mix our faith with. And oh, let me encourage you. Everything we do is by faith. And over in Nehemiah, the wall was built at great sacrifice. You remember the wall was in ruins, and Nehemiah wept and wept and wept and knew that God wanted him to help rebuild the wall. And after all the sacrifice and all the things they went through, they wanted to make sure, and God wanted them to make sure, that their giving was in order. Because there's more than just building a church. There's the carrying on of a church. There's more than just building a wall. There's the maintenance of the wall. There's more than just putting up a television station over in Kampala, Uganda. There is the maintenance of that and the continuation of that. You who have homes, you know, you build a home. I drove by somewhere the other day and they were just painting everything that was on the exterior. It was time to paint. Maintenance is a part of life. And it's all important that our tithes, our offerings, and first fruits be offered by and in faith. As the pastor of this church, let me express something. I've never been given to gimmicks. If I can see it in God's word, then I go for it. And if I did not believe that this was scriptural and that it has God's blessing upon it, if I thought this was in the realm of gimmicks or cheap fundraising or something of that, No, we don't operate that way here in the church. But I believe with all of my heart, coming back to this first fruits thing, and that's not where my whole message is going to be, I think the greatest revelation I've ever had on first fruits is the fact that everything God has ever done for us was first fruits. God created the world knowing full well which way the world would go. God created Adam and Eve in faith, knowing that they would veer off course. But in the cool of the evening, here comes God with a sacrifice for their sins. And so everything that God has ever done for us, you know, God saves us in faith, believing for the best in your life and my life and your marriage and our marriage, and believing for the best. And those of us that have been around church for a number of years, and I was practically born in church and raised in church, and except for a couple of years of being off track in my teen years, but thank God I got that thing settled by the grace of God. But you know, for years, it was not an unusual thing for some evangelist or some pastor to receive a prove me offering. Now, this is not your tithe. This is not normal offerings. You're just going to prove God. You're just going to put something out there. You're going to put some seed out there. And I remember Brother D.H. Phillips, one of the dearest friends this ministry ever had. I can still hear that raspy voice challenging us to give to God. Remember the morning our boilers, one was completely out and the other one was going out in the downtown location. And he challenged us in an ice and snowstorm. If you'd asked me if there's $100 there that morning, I would have said, no way. And yet God brought in, I don't know, some $18,000. The boiler was fixed, and in the midst of snow and ice and hardly anybody there, of course you couldn't hardly get there on the roads, God did it. And I remember him challenging us to give a prove me offering to the Lord, and we had many miracles that came out of that. We had a doctor that attended First Methodist on a regular basis. He couldn't make it up the hill to First Methodist, so he stopped in our church. And that was as far as his car could go. It was rough. As you know, Fort Worth can be a rough place with snow and ice. And that morning when Brother Phillips mentioned the boiler situation, he said, I don't know what came over me, but he said, I was up front writing a $1,000 check before I could even turn around. So, and he told me later on, he said, you know, that was really a high point of my church going. I mean, he was just exhilarated, and then God did some wonderful things for him. But it's all important that our tithe, our offerings, our first fruits be offered by and in faith. Now, thirdly, you know, you're going to give offerings everywhere you go. And people just get hang-ups about churches. Like I say, you know, I go to the cafeteria. They're so nice to me, but they want my money. I go down to Shell or, you know, they're nice to me. In fact, one man, they said, it's always good to see you come in, but they want my money. Praise God. And that's just the way the world system operates. And God's system operates in the same way, except we get blessings from that. Amen. So God, the third thing that I want to bring to our attention is that all offerings are not the same. Two men, brothers, brought offerings to God. One was rejected, the other received. Now, that's a strange situation, isn't it? I mean, that's in your face. Two brothers, both came to God, one offering received, one rejected, because one brought, did not bring what God had asked him to bring. He brought an offering of the produce. The other brought a blood sacrifice, and that pleased God. Now, the fourth thing that I see in this one verse is that God witnesses, he sees, he observes, and records Abel's offering and said that he and it, in other words, the offering, was righteous. You tell me, out of all the things that happen in all the churches throughout the world, and God saw one offering. You tell me how God Almighty says, his word says, that not one sparrow falls without God observing that sparrow. You know, we serve an awesome God. Now, with all the modern technology and computer chips, we could pull that mission station over in Kampala, Uganda. We can take you almost to the front door. I mean, the whole world knows where the whole world is today. Someone was really upset because they took a photo for that type of thing, and they'd left an old couch out in front of the house. They said, people think that's the way our house is all the time. I heard someone, overheard someone saying that. I mean, your picture is not private anymore. Your house, where you live, what's in your driveway, nothing is private anymore. At least it's subject to the whole world knowing it. But all offerings are not the same. Two brothers brought offerings. One is rejected, the other is received. Now, the fourth thing that I would bring to your attention is that God witnesses, God sees, God observes, and records Abel's offering and said that he and it, in other words, that the offering was righteous. God saw it, and God said that the offering was righteous. You say, what difference does it make? It lets me know that God is aware of everything in our life. I just happen to be talking along the lines of finances, but, you know, even a cup of cool water, God has the record. That person that you helped who was in a time of adversity, God saw that. God knows the thing. Some people think all God sees is the bad things we do. No, God records the good. God records all the things that your life is a part of. And you know, there are two offerings that God will never forget. God will never forget Abel's offering. And God will never forget the woman with the alabaster box. All three Gospels record her gift in Matthew 26, 7, Mark 14, 3, Luke chapter 7, verse 37. How the woman brought the alabaster box to Jesus and gave it to Jesus, the most costly thing she had. And then with the hairs of her head, she dried his feet. And they came in a critical way, even the disciples. And he said, since I came, this woman has shown love. She has shown faith. With the hairs of her head, she has wiped my feet. And you've done nothing. See, God knows what we do. We're not always able to do everything we want to do, but God sees what we do. And I looked at that woman. Strange thing. I mean, that would the newspapers would have dealt very unkindly with that because it just didn't seem logical. Here's a woman that the most costly thing she has, she brings to Jesus. It's a costly gift, very precious. It's the best gift possible, the best she has. It's a timely gift in that he was anointed unto his burial under the cross of Calvary. It was a gift of pure worship, a very personal gift. And she didn't worry about the opinions of others. It was a gift that was poured out in the natural, never to be received again. Interesting. But she gave it to Jesus. She gave her best gift to Jesus. And her gift was truly a faith gift unto God. So, in that sense, the word Abel's gift will never be forgotten wherever, and I'm doing it again this morning. How many times has this portion of God's word been preached? And every time that it's preached, there's a man by the name of Abel that God has the record of what he gave. And there's a woman who came with an alabaster box, and her morals might have been questionable, but her heart was pure and her faith was a faith that God could not forget. She didn't worry about the opinion of others concerning her gift. Her gift was truly a faith gift unto God. And her gift will never be forgotten. And there's something that's of such interest. God himself was so impressed that out of all the offerings that were ever given, God testified about this offering, the importance of this offering. Think about it. Out of all the offerings that have ever been given, God testified about the importance of this offering. God testified. Just think about it. How many times have you given something? How many times have you gone the extra, the second, third, fourth, or fifth mile? I remember Maxine Swanner. She was a good woman with a strong personality. And I'll tell you, there's few things as strong as a woman with a made-up mind, I'm telling you. Never will forget downtown when that property, we so desperately were trying to make a payment in that new property. When she came to the front area and she said, Pastor, God impressed upon me to give a certain amount. Well, I knew, my head knew that was more than she was able to do or more than she should do. I tried to talk her out of it. She got mad at me. She said, you leave me alone. I'm going to obey God. She said, it'll be here tomorrow morning. I'm not even going to go into the ramifications of it. Her husband worked for the railroad. He had passed away, and they had not informed her of everything that should rightly come to her, so she was getting a certain amount of money every month and just barely making it. Well, you know, within days, a man came by her place from the railroad and said, you know, I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but in other words, her income doubled. And then there was an amount of money that was three times as much as what she brought forward on that Monday morning. And here I am, pastor, trying to talk her out of all of it. Of course, I said, we love you. We don't just want your money. We love you. We appreciate you. I can still see her coming in that Chevy Impala, man. She must have had 10 people in there every time she'd come to church. That bumper would drag the ground. She'd bring everyone that could fit into that little Chevy and bring them to church. You know, it's just great hearts like that. There's been so many great hearts around this house. But I think, you know, God had the record of that. And she came up, she said, see, she said, God took care of me. And I mean, she preached to me. She got me straightened out. And she said, I'm just doing what I hear the word of God saying. My, my, God was impressed. So the word of God says, and by it, this is all in chapter 11, verse 4. By it, make no mistake about Abel's offering getting God's attention. Your giving gets God's attention. Does it buy it? No, 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 no. Never, never. No one has enough money to buy the attention of God. It's not the way it works. But God sees us doing what we can do and what our faith is reaching out to do on the line. You know, I still think about an offering that God prompted us to give down in Florida years ago. Church had to have some property. We were there preaching and felt so strong of God to pledge $5,000. We did. And it was a hard $5,000. I want to admit, it just didn't come easy, but we did take care of it. And that property was purchased there. But do you know that within 90 days, God brought back that 8 acres downtown that made the difference? Pier 1 would not be built there today if it had not been for the addition of that property that we'd been forced to let go coming back into the portfolio. So that when the need was there, God had everything in place. Within 90 days, the federal government canceled $7 million cross collateral and said, make us an offer on that property. And we offered them $100,000, and it was taken care of in just a few days. Now, for you business people, you got that. And for others, you'll say, that sounds far out. But God did it. I just want you to know today that you can't figure everything out in life. You can't figure your stuff out. You can't figure everyone else's stuff out. My pastor's heart gets me in trouble all the time. I'm always trying to help do this or help do that. And I realize that I have limitations, but our God is without limitations. Our God is without limitations. And when we go as far as we can go, God's ability and God's resources have just begun. Just begun. Here we are, 43 years old as a church. And we should have been out of business because of the storm and all that happened in 2000. But here we have another piece of property. We have a lovely Christian school. And our God has been so good to this church. I told you last week about another miracle that we helped a church. And we don't do that all the time, but we did what God bid us to do. Church was really in a difficult situation. And for some reason, it was another $5,000. And I'm telling you, just in the last, 2 months, God turned right around outside of this church and did a $50,000 miracle for our television station over in Kampala, Uganda. I would have had to come to you and to us for that $50,000. We had to have that piece of equipment to keep that station running, but God took care of it. So the thing I'm saying, don't put God in a box. Don't think that God is limited. He's a wonderful God. He's an awesome God. But you've got to mix faith with it. And by it, Abel's offering got God's attention. And God commented on that. There's one other truth that comes to us out of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. This offering that was given by this man, unfortunately, cost his life. He didn't last long because his brother was very hostile and there was animosity there. It cost his life. And he said, okay, Pastor, explain that. What about that? Well, so we live here however long we live here. But the Bible said, but Abel being dead, his offering still preaches, still testifies, still teaches, it still speaks. Is there an offering that we could put on these steps or put in the buckets as they go by? And of course, we're talking to you because we're right on the eve of first fruits. Is there an offering that you could give that would forever be recorded in heaven? Yes, every gift you give. Much is said about partners and partnership today. You know, every time you put a dollar in the plate, you're a partner with this ministry. I said, you're a partner with this ministry. You don't have to fill out an application. We don't have to send it before a committee and approve you to be a partner of this ministry. Every time you give, everything you give, eternally recorded in heaven. I think back to Joy's parents who were dedicated givers. Oh, they were givers. Her father, of course, in pioneering a church, and I understand the things that go into pioneering a church, all the sacrifices that he made. Then I think of our family, and really, Mom was kind of the driving force. Dad gave, and Dad was a good man, and my gracious, I could never tell you the effect of his character on my life. But Mother had that, she had that eagle eye about giving. My grandmother had the same thing. And sometimes I think there must be some carryover, some carry through with the offerings that my grandmother gave and the offerings that my mother gave and the offerings that Joy's mother gave and the offerings that her grandmother gave. There must be some carryover into our lives, Joy, because God sees that. And if there's no one in your family who is a giver, you start the legacy yourself. You start it yourself, and God sees that. So this man's offering cost his life, but Abel being dead, his offering is forever recorded here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, and it still preaches, testifies, teaches, and yet speaketh. We are so blessed to be partners with God. He could do without me, but I cannot do without him. He could do without all of us, but we can't do without him. You know, in a hospital room just the other day, one of our precious men, he said, you know, you see things from a different perspective when the doctor says you can't make it. And he said, all of a sudden your church takes on a whole new meaning. All of a sudden going to church takes on a whole new thing. And he's ready to go. He said, I'm ready either way. But he said it takes on a whole new thing, just being able to come to church. I mean, here I am saying, oh, please, please come, church, please. We advertise, please come on the radio, please come, please, 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 please. But you know, he said, man, he said, I see this thing in a whole different way. See it in a whole different way. And you know, folks, God's just calling upon all of us. How much time do all of us have? How much time do any of us have? According to the teaching of God's word, I think we're closer to the coming of the Lord than we've ever been. Obviously, I can't set a date and wouldn't if I could, because that's not scriptural. But I just want to encourage us. Who was it? Was it Wayne Myers that said, do you give in while you're living so you'll be a knowing where it's a going? Amen. And you say, well, my gift's not as big as someone else's. It's not how big it is. It's the obedience that counts. Abel chose to obey God. Abel chose to obey God. And it's forever there. I mean, it is forever there. It will never go away. It was by faith that this man offered his offering to the Lord. And this morning, I just wanted to, just from my heart as a pastor, to just challenge us. It's a miracle what God has accomplished through this ministry. It's a miracle that we have a place to worship today. It's a miracle that we survived the storm. It's only by amazing grace, God's grace. Just as the woman who brought her very best, the alabaster box, or just as with Abel, God has a record. God has a record. I've seen it in so many others, but I remember when Charlie and Laura, they first came into the church, you know, Laura married Charlie in IRS and probably a few other lawyers at the same time of the claims that were there. And they said, do you have any advice for us? And I said, yeah, get as close to the front as you can get. Nothing righteous about the back of anyone's head. Don't get involved in anybody's cat fight in the church. There's always some kind of a cat fight you can get involved with. And I said, get into the Word and just let the Word become the mainstay of your life and be faithful in your tithing to the Lord. And they didn't have to wait. Charlie closed a deal with the title company. He started selling real estate when real estate wasn't selling. Started selling real estate when real estate was not selling. It was a time of recession, quote. And God supernaturally brought them out. I watched it step by step, blow by blow, check by check, and tithe check after tithe check. God brought them out. When you hear him talking about it, it's exactly the way he says it is. God brought them out. Charlie's life was financial disaster. I mean, sin put you in that position. But now God has completely turned things around. And he's a blessing to others. And, of course, we've taken others with us. But when we go to Uganda, one of the altar calls that Charlie gave in Uganda, it took him about 3:30 that afternoon to process the converts. And we were eating lunch, and they said, they're still processing the converts. And I thought, isn't that something? From alcohol and drugs and being supernaturally in debt and broke and your life just, you know, torn apart. How that Jesus can forgive every sin, heal your mind, heal your body, give you a new mission in life. Praise be unto God, and anoint you to be able to lead other souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, you know, we need to get excited. The greatest thing on the face of this earth is God's kingdom. The greatest opportunity that we have is to be a part of what God is doing in this hour. Lady came up to me. She's a judge. And in fact, she came up to me 3 different times last evening and looked me in the face, and I mean she had a grip. And she said, 18 years ago, you affected my life. 18 years ago, I was in and out and off and on. She said, I really was kind of like a ship just drifting at sea. But she said, I don't know what it was. Who knows? God knows. But she said, 18 years ago, and it was through a member of this church that introduced us and talked with her a little bit and encouraged her and challenged her. I don't even know. Who knows? It was God that did it anyway. But the final thing she looked me in the eye, she said, the influence of your life has changed my life. You talk about something to make you feel about that high, because I know the truth about it. It's God. It's God that makes a difference. It's God that makes the difference. It's God that takes this piece of clay. It's God that takes the nothingness of our life. It's God that takes all of our inabilities and makes something beautiful out of your life and out of my life. And I just want to say in the name of Jesus, God is an awesome God. 2 brothers give an offering. 1 didn't obey God. 1 did obey God. And God was pleased, and the record is there. Thank you, Abel, for bringing an offering that will forever be recorded, and we'll never forget that God sees what we give to Him.